Mark chapter 5, verse 25. I've spoke of this instance through the week, or the weekend, whatever. But I won't take my text here tonight. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, she came in the press behind and touched his garment. For she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said unto him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me?" And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Notice here, there's a whole bunch of people there that was touching him. Whole bunch of them there that was touching him. But only one got help. Only one got help. Listen now. "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, 'Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague.'" While he yet spake, I'm reading this next couple of verses here, because you see this happening took place in the midst of a story. It interrupted a story. Jesus was on his way to Jairus' house, and this woman interrupted the whole procession to get what she needed from God. Here we pick it up again. "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, 'Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?' As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, 'Be not afraid, only believe.'" And the story goes on to tell us how that he went on to Jairus' house and raised his little daughter. That man couldn't do nothing but believe after he saw what he saw. Amen. Pray with us and ask the Lord to help us. Father, in the name of Jesus, we look to you tonight, Lord, believing and trusting in you and your divine power. Praying, Lord, that you would anoint us tonight to preach your word once again. That you would direct our thoughts and our minds, Lord, by the sweet Holy Ghost. That you would help us, Lord, to speak words, Lord, that would cause faith to rise in our hearts that we might believe, Lord. Reach out and touch you and receive from you that which we have need of as individuals. We'll give you the praise and thanks and worship in Jesus' name. Praise God. Amen. I thought about Brother Jimmy's testimony tonight. He found the Lord at the end of the road, with his face turned to the window, nowhere else to go. Everything else had failed him. Was it just 21? Just 21. And life had already left you empty, void, fruitless at 21. Many of them like that today. Amen. Let me preach for a little while for you tonight, if the Lord will help us. I want to preach on when everything fails. Amen. when everything fails. Let's look at this story for a little while. Amen. To get the setting. And then there's a few things I want to talk to you about that leads to failure. Amen. And then what overcomes failure. Sometimes when everything fails, when all hope is gone, and nothing works, and everything fails, sometimes in our desperation, we can see better than we've ever seen before. Our priorities get lined up, and we begin to see things like we really should. Amen? We begin to look at eternity, begin to see what's really important and what's not. Amen. Did you know that'll make all the difference in the world in how you face things and how you react to things as how you see things? This woman's condition was she was hopeless. No hope. 12 years she had been in that condition. No hope at all for her. The Bible said that she had suffered much, much suffering. Amen. But she had none the better, but rather grew worse. Job, we can relate to that. Job tells us about that. Man that's born of a woman is a few days and full of troubles. Life's made up out of them. You've heard people say, well, that's just life. It is. That's just life. It rains on the just and on the unjust. And that's just life. We've all got to learn to face it and cope with it and go on in spite of it. Amen. And live for God regardless of what life brings. Amen. And many times we're down and we have to rebound and come back. Amen. Get a new hope. Get a new vision. Amen. But did you know at the end of your rope, at a time of failure, at a time when nothing's worked for you and everything's wrong and despair has come to your heart, did you know them will be the greatest spiritual times of your life? Amen. Help me preach a little while. I'm going to try to preach to you tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. She had faith. She had faith. Her words were words of faith, not words of doubt. Though her position was a position of hopelessness, yet her words were words of faith. If I can just get to Him. Amen. I know if I can just touch His clothes, I shall be healed. Amen. And Jesus responded to her faith, and He said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Did you know that man's ultimate end in this life is absolute failure without God? Amen. Amen. Jesus told the story of the rich farmer that had an abundant crop, tore down his old barns and built bigger barns and got it all together and said, soul, just take thine ease now. Just eat, drink, and be merry, and everything will be all right. You've laid up much treasure, and you can enjoy life now. And God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then whose thing shall these be? Amen. They're going to be taken away in a moment's time. Amen. What's important? What's really important in life? Have you thought about it? What's really important in life? Is the house that I live in, is it really important in life? No, it's necessary, but is it really important? Hey man, is the clothes I wear, are they really important? Is the way that I look, is it really important? Hey, man. Oh, God help me out. I'm feeling something here tonight. Praise God. Amen. Jesus said, if a man should gain the whole world and lose his own soul, he's a failure. He's an absolute failure. Amen. Praise the Lord. In James chapter 4, we read some strong words here. Beginning with verse 1, I'm going to read about 8 verses there of James chapter 4. And I want you to remember that these words are written to the church, to Christian folks. Amen. They're written to folks that's in a church. And in all truth, they're written to us. And so he says, from whence come wars and fightings among you? He begins this with a question. Where do they come from? Amen? Come they not hence, even of your lust, that war in your members? Your undisciplined desires. Lust. Your desires that's out of harmony with God's Word, lust. That's what he's talking about. That's where they come from. He asks a question, he answers it. That's where they come from. They're warring in your members. Somebody said, well, I got saved, sanctified, and filled the Holy Ghost. They're still warring in your members. Amen. Anybody here don't have trouble with the old man? I ain't never found nobody didn't have trouble with the old man, Brother Jimmy. I ain't never found them. I've heard some that tried to tell me that the flesh was completely eradicated in sanctification. But it ain't. Amen? There'll have to be a change. There'll have to be that change that the Lord makes and gives us a new body. Amen? As long as we're in this world, there's going to be members of our body. Amen? There's going to be a war going on in us. We're going to battle that raging war within us. If we don't keep it under control, keep it disciplined, keep the old man down, amen, we'll find wars. They'll get started right in the church. Ye lust, or ye desire, and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not because ye ask not. They wasn't praying, was he? That's usually the beginning of it. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss. All this bunch of liberal charismatics do is teach people how to ask for things pertaining to this life that are the least important. Why, Jesus went so far as to say, if you seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness first, then all these other things be added to you. You don't even have to pray about it. You live right. You seek the kingdom of God. Amen. You live upright. And you keep your fellowship with God. You won't have to worry about a house to live in. You won't have to worry about clothes on your back. You won't have to worry about food on your table. God will take care of it. Oh, Lord, help me now. I've got to go over these scriptures now. Ye ask and receive not because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Your own selfish desires. So he said, you ask, but you ask amiss, that you might consume it upon yourself. That's what he's saying. Listen here now, these are so strong words. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, Now, he's not talking about sexual adultery and adulteresses. No, he's talking about the church being unfaithful to the Lord in which they're married to. Amen? And he explains that as he goes on down. He said, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. What's he saying? You're supposed to be married, espoused to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you're out there romancing the world. And he called them adulterers and adulteresses. Amen? A friendship of the world is enmity against God. You're being a friend with God's enemy. Amen? Folks are participating and enjoying and flirting. Amen? And making eyes at and winking and adorning and decorating themselves to entice and entertain the world. Amen? And the Bible, James called them adulterers and adulteresses. Now, I didn't say that. It's what the Bible said. I'm just telling you what the Bible's saying here now, because I'm going to preach to you here in a minute and tell you some things. Amen. Do you think that the Scripture saith in the vain, the Spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Man, man, hallelujah. Praise God. What a powerful Scripture there. I ain't got time to deal with all these. And listen to what he says now. Here's the solution. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. I don't hardly ever hear anybody quote that. But they'll quote that next part. Resist the devil, he'll flee from you. But you can resist the devil till you turn blind in the face. And he will never even acknowledge you if you have not first submitted to God. If you submit, when you resist, the devil will pay attention to you. But if you haven't submitted to God, you can forget resisting. He'll not even pay a bit of attention to you. So what he said now, draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Isn't that wonderful? What a wonderful thing. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Anybody know what the word doubt means? It means looking two ways at once. And when he said here, you double-minded, that's exactly what he was talking about. Ye double-minded. Got a hold to the world out here. Got a hold to God over here. And trying to walk hand in hand with God in the world. Double-minded. Amen. Double-minded. There's three things that I won't talk to you tonight that leads to failure. Now, when I'm speaking of failure, I'm speaking of concerning the Christian walk. Three things I want to talk to you about now that leads to failure. Just simple. Just real simple. But every one of you have stumbled over one of these or the other or maybe all three of them at some time or other. And if you live very long, you'll do it again. But I hope the next time you come up to it, you'll realize that it'll cause you to fail if you dwell there. Listen to me now. Let me talk to you about these three things. First of all, self-will leads to failure. Self-will leads to failure. You're not your own. You're bought with a price. You belong to God. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Amen? We don't belong to ourselves. We're not ours to do with as we please. Amen? We're not to make our own decisions, but we're to make every decision in the light of God's Word and in the light of God's will. Amen. Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? Amen. That's the only remedy, amen, for self-will. Amen. Is walk in the light of God's Word and always walk in the fact of I want to do God's will. Regardless of how I feel, regardless of circumstances, I'm going to do God's will. If God's will might not be the best for the moment. Amen. All of you have had to do things that at the moment it brought trouble. But the end brought peace. Because you did what was right. Amen. Oh, probably everyone here has been in a position where that if you just kind of told a little lie. You know, they say little white lie, you know, little gray lie. And I don't find no distinction or definition in the Bible.
No, sir.
Lie's a lie. Gray, white, green, yellow, black, or blue. It's just a lie. The Bible says all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire. But all of you have been placed in a position on the job, in the home, in the community, in the family. Somewhere you've been placed in a position where that just a little shadowing of the truth, just a little turning of the story, hey man, would have made it easier, would have worked out better at the moment. But the days of turmoil following, the guilt to the heart and the soul that was tender before God, the bondage that it brings, the hurt that it'll produce. Amen. Some of you might be here that you have fallen to that temptation in a time, amen, of circumstances. Sure, Christians can fall to things too, you know. Yeah, they can. They can fail sometimes. Amen. The great sin, Brother Jimmy, is not failing. The great sin is refusing to confess it and repent of it. Amen. And so, self-will leads to failure. The rich young ruler came to Jesus, and there's no doubt in my mind that he was sincere and genuine, and he meant business. He came running, one scripture says. Another one said he knelt. And he said, Lord, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said, keep the commandments. He said, Lord, I've done all that. From my youth, I've done all that. But what lack I yet? Jesus put his finger on it, said, go and sell what thou hast. Give to the poor and come take up your cross and follow me. You know what the Bible says? The Bible said he went away sorrowful. Yet sometimes we let some folks go and don't run after them, and the church folks get mad at us. Jesus never did chase nobody. No, he didn't. He offered and presented it to them, but they had to receive it. You can't force feed people. You can't make them. Amen. You can't do it. You can do everything in your power, and you can't do it. It'll never work. This young man turned and went away sorrowful. Amen. His question was, what must I do? And when the Lord told him what to do, he said, I won't do it. No, he didn't verbally make that statement. But when he turned and he went away, he declared loud and clear, I won't do it. Self-will. Self-will will lead you to failure. I've said it before, I'll say it again. You have more trouble with you than you have with anybody. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. The greatest enemy you've got in this world is yourself. That's right. That's right. If I could just keep myself straight, man, I'll tell you what, I'd be doing a job. But you know what it does, Brother Jimmy? It takes me and the prayers of all the preachers and all the saints all over this country to keep me straight. And then God's got to pour some grace in on top of that. Amen. Just to keep me straight. Amen. You know why? Amen. You know why? Me, myself, will. Amen. My own goals, ambitions, my own thoughts, my own mind. That's a battle. It's a battle. Amen. And it's something that we don't all together always conquer and keep conquered. It ain't something you can bring to the altar, amen, one time and leave it there. Paul said, I bring under my body under subjection daily. He said, I'm crucified. The life that I live by faith in the Son of God. I'm crucified. I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. For the world is crucified unto me, and me unto the world, by my faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. You see, I got to keep my vows renewed. I got to keep them up to date. That's why we got altars in the church. Amen. That's why we have folks pray. Amen. Because I got to keep this old man, amen, that dwells in me. I got to keep him under control. I got to keep him under my thumb. I got to keep him down, or he'll rise up and take over in my life, Brother Jimmy, and he'll lead me down the wrong road, and he'll give me problems that I can't overcome, and I'll wind up a failure as a Christian. Praise God. Amen. James said in verse 8 there, cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Amen. That word double-minded means doubters. That's what it means. Amen. Purify your hearts, you doubters. Didn't Jesus always say to them, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Amen? What is that? Doubters. Doubt will lead to failure. Is anybody here that has never doubted? Let me see. Brother Jimmy, I've doubted my call to preach before. I have. Especially after I hear some of these great preachers preach. Yeah. Man, I battled the devil. Amen. Cried and bawled and prayed and preached. Trying to help folks. Seemed like this going the other way. Rather than moving up, this moving back. And I was doing everything in my power. Amen. To try to move them closer to God. Amen. And I've been there and I doubted. And I thought, Lord God, I'm a failure as a preacher. I don't even know if I'm called a preacher or not. We all have them times. You ain't by yourself. And I ain't by myself either. Amen. We all have them times. Amen. When doubt plagues our trail. When that demon of doubt moves in on us. Tries to belittle us and badger us and destroy us. Amen. But oh, thank God. Amen. If you'll let it, it'll lead you back to an altar. Lead you back to a place of prayer. Amen. And faith can rise in your heart and overcome that doubting monster in your soul. Amen. Amen. That root word for doubt.
looking two ways at once. That's it. Amen. The last one, and it's a big one. I told you these are just three little things. Self-will, doubt, and then fear. Well, Jimmy, them just little bitty things, you just think about them. This ain't no great flowery message. It's just something God put on my heart and showed me that these three things lead us to failure. You know why He showed me them? Because it's leading me to failure.
Come on.
Amen. I'm preaching to you tonight something I know. I'm preaching to you something I know tonight, something I've experienced. I've been a partaker of the fruit. Amen. I know where I'm at tonight. I know what I'm telling you. Amen. I know the battle you're going through, and I know what's raging in your soul. I know the thoughts that you have at times, and the doubts and the fears and frustrations that comes your way at times, and the circumstances of life. Amen. That comes a flooding in your soul to try to discourage you and cause you to fall into the sea of despondency. Amen. I understand that. I've been there. I've felt what you feel. Amen. Oh, God help us. Fear. Matthew chapter 14. Many times these three things, though I'm given to you as three distinct things, many times these three things work together all at the same time in our lives. Many times it's self-will that causes us to doubt. Amen. And then self-will and doubt together always leads to failure. I mean, always leads to fear. Always leads to fear. And so, many times they all work together. Amen. To try to keep us from being overcomers in what God wants us to be. You see, that's the devil's goal. He don't care if he keeps you out of church or not, though if he can find something that will keep you out of church, he'll use it on you until you defeat him with it. I mean, if he can give you a headache and keep you home, amen, at the midweek service, you'll have a headache every Tuesday night. That's when you have service. You'll have a headache every Tuesday night. If he can send Aunt Jane by, or Cousin Sal, or Mom and Daddy by your house, amen, along about church time, amen, if that works, he'll do it again. Anything that'll work, he'll try it on you. And you know why? Amen. He don't care if you just don't get out of church altogether. As a matter of fact, he can do more hurt to the church if he can just cause you to come up short and be cold and indifferent. Amen. And be self-willed and stubborn and rebellious. He can do a lot more harm to the church. You know why? Because you'll be among those that'll have a fighting spirit. Oh, yeah. A critical spirit. I mean, buddy, you're checking everything that comes by. And I don't care how good it is, if an old critical spirit gets hold of you, you'll never dig the good out of it. You'll find everything in the world wrong with it.
Right.
Amen. Come on now, I'm trying to preach to you a little bit. Amen. Fear leads to failure. Let me read this scripture in the book of Matthew, chapter 14. See where I want to start here. But let me just start at verse 22. Tell the whole story here. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. Excuse me. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. When the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea and was tossed with the waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And one scripture, maybe it's Mark, or maybe Luke, in one of them, it says that he would have passed them by. He would have passed them by. Amen. But they cried out to him. Amen. Listen to what it says now. Walking on the sea, and when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. Fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." When Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. And then he saw the wind boisterous, and he was afraid. That fear is again. He was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, you doubter, wherefore didst thou doubt?" Self-will, doubt, and fear will cause us to fail as a Christian. None of us is exempt from it. And you're not a failure just because it comes your way. Amen. You're only a failure when you succumb to it. You see what I'm saying? These are things that will be sent your way because of your humanity that God means for you to be strengthened by them to come through the battle and come through the circumstances. Hold your integrity and hold your faith with God. Amen. And believe God in spite of everything. Amen. And God will cause you to grow by these. It's no great sin, nor you're not a failure. If you have doubt come to your heart, or if you have fear come to your heart. Amen. Even when you have to battle with yourself to make yourself do what you know is right, to make yourself do what you know is God's will. And God's will, many times, are contrary, most of the time. I've told people this, churches I pastored and teaching, Sunday school classes, I said, don't ever interpret the Word of God to make it easy on the flesh. God don't ever do it that way. The flesh is our killer. It's a thing that's enmity with God. It's the worldly thing. That's the reason why God said it's going back to the dust from which it came. Amen. My, my, my. Don't ever interpret the Bible to make it easy on the flesh. Amen. Interpret it like it is. Fear leads to failure. Fear leads to failure. My, my, my. I'm reminded of a story that I heard or read of a prison in British Columbia. It was, I believe, Alcan was the name of it. And this prison had been a prison camp for many, many, many years. And it was a prison camp before the Second World War. And during the Second World War, it became a prison camp for prisoners of war. And after the war was over, and amen, and the camp was old, and they needed it no longer, and they disbanded it. And things got bad in the British Columbia. And the economy was just in shambles, and folks were out of work, and they was just having all kinds of problems. So the government said, we'll do this. We'll take the old prison, we'll hire the people that's not working, and we'll put them to work to salvage the prison. So the men gathered to the prison, began to go to work, and they dismantled it. They took out the electrical appliances and the conduits and the electric things and anything that was salvageable, they took it out and removed it. Then they began to dismantle the old prison itself. Man, they said, the story said it had huge barred doors with double locks on them, that locks that nobody could pick. And the bars were made of hardened steel that was 2 inches thick, that even a hacksaw couldn't even make its way through them. And they said that nobody had ever escaped from this prison. Never had a person escape from it. Amen. It just, it just was not feasible to escape. They went to tear down the walls of this prison and the buildings of this prison. They looked like they were steel. And they thought, man, we're going to get some salvage here. But when they started to dismantle the walls of that prison and the buildings of that prison, they found that they was made out of pressed paper, painted gray to look like steel. And they said that any 200-pound man could have run through any wall, anywhere, at any time. And all them years, Brother Jimmy, it had kept those people prisoners. No one had escaped. They never tried. I want to tell you tonight, when everything fails, you can just take it laying down if you want to. That's what that brother preached up there at Bond, didn't it? You can just stay there in that prison if you want to. But you don't have to. When one of these things rises up its ugly head in your life and begins to dictate to you or move on you or trouble you, amen, don't let it send despair and despondency to visit you, but rather get on the road with Jesus and let goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your life, that you might dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Amen. Try it. You'll find out that you can break out of any prison that the devil's got to put you in, because the doors are not locked and the walls are made out of paper, and he can't hold you there if you don't stay there. Run against the wall. Shove against it. Amen. Work at it. Work at it. You know, a lot of folks don't ever get nothing done for God because they won't ever try. Somebody said, I tried one time and I failed. And I just wouldn't ever try no more. Isn't that a sight? I'd rather try and fail. Amen. And just do nothing. Amen. Amen. I wonder how far along in society we'd be if all of our doctors and all of our inventors and all of our scientists, amen, were just made one little experiment, and when it failed, they'd have said, well, I give up. I quit. I'll tell you what, we'll still be in the Stone Ages. You know why? Amen. Maybe at the end of a long life of struggles, they came on it. I know God showed it to them. But a lot of times God showed it to them. Oh, yeah, some of them were Christian. Some of them were sinners. God showed it to them. God let them find it. God revealed it to them in this last day. God opened up the way and he showed it to them. But I guarantee you, everything God ever gave to any man, amen, for the benefit of society, to the benefit of the public, he gave to a man that persevered, to a man that gave himself to what he was doing, to a man that would try, and when he failed, he'd get up and try again. And when he failed, he'd get up and try again. If you're going to be an overcoming Christian, you're going to be like this little woman that I gave to you. 12 years, she's a failure. But one day she tried the right thing, and it worked out for her. And she wound up being a great success. And we're still preaching about her today. Woo! Praise God. Oh, glory. I wished I didn't run out of breath and have to rest, but I do. Why am I? Praise God. My body cannot keep up with my spirit. Can't do it. Can't do it. I wished I had more control over it, but I don't. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You know, when things look the worst, many times they're the best. That's right. When things look the worst, many times they're the best. Stories told of this missionary that was in foreign land, been out on the field. He had an engagement appointment to meet someone at a certain destination at a certain time. Had to cross this river. It's cold where he was. I don't remember exactly where it was at. But it was very cold. The waterways was frozen over. And he had to cross this river, and he got up to it, came up to it. And some of those that lived around there said, "Oh, you can go across it. It'll be all right." You know, said, "The ice will hold. It won't break." The man was scared. Fear gripped his heart. Amen. He didn't know. And you can't tell about ice. You can't tell about it when you look at it. You cannot tell about it. It can be thick in one place and thin in another. And I don't know what makes that, but it's so. Amen. And this man, he looked at that and he walked back and forth up and down the bank. He said, "I've got to get there. Time's running out. I've got to get there. And the only way to get there is cross this river. What am I going to do, Lord? Lord, what am I going to do?" Thought to come to him, cross the river. He'd get down and look at the water, or look at the ice. Look out across the river, look at the distance. He'd go to pace him again. Well, it was getting to be an emergency. Time was running out. He had to do something. So he said, "Well, it'll take a while, but I know what I'll do. I'll get down on the ice, and I'll inch my way across the river." Seems pretty good there. Here he went. Inch at a time. Checking the ice. Barely moving. About to freeze to death. Amen. Just inch at a time. Yeah. I believe that's all right. Scared to death. Fear gripping his heart. About that time he's about the middle ways of the river, and he heard a great noise. Just a loud rumbling noise. And he looked over his shoulder, down the river just a little ways. He saw a team of mules, an old colored man in a wagon, coming right down over the little hump down into the river. And the wagon was loaded with pig iron. And the man never even hesitated. Just drove the team and the wagon, the whole thing, right out on it and right across the river. Fear had him stopped. Fear had him stopped. Fear had him stopped. Dear God, if we could rise above our fears, it's yet to be seen, Brother Jimmy, what we could accomplish for God. If we could just rise above our fears. Amen. Hallelujah. You reckon the Word of God is solid? You reckon it means what it says and says what it means? You reckon the ice would ever crack? Amen. Do you reckon it'd hold us up, Brother Jimmy, if we'd walk out on it? Do you reckon it'll do the trust? Do you reckon we can believe in it? Amen. I think we can. Amen. And fear is nothing but an instrument of the devil to cause us defeat. Amen. Praise God. Jesus never fails. I'm about through. What am I going to do, Lord? Amen. I'm not going to let self get in the way. I'm going to control self. Make a servant out of it. I won't make it serve God. Amen. Flesh, your flesh draws back sometimes from the things of God. Yeah, especially when there's some persecution involved. Or even when there's some sacrifice involved. Sometimes your flesh will draw back and hold back. You've got to conquer it. You've got to conquer it. You see, we got to do right, even if our flesh doesn't want to do right. We got to do right. God will hold us up for that. Amen. He'll help us to do that. Amen. His grace is sufficient, the apostle said. I believe that. Amen. So listen, faith. Faith is the key here that unlocks the door. This woman had faith. And that Lord said to her, thy faith hath made thee whole. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Your faith will cause you to rise above these circumstances of life. Somebody said, yeah, but faith is so hard. No, we make it hard. It's not hard. Faith is simple. It's the simplest thing, amen, that there could ever be. It just simply means trust. It's what a child has for his father. Amen. 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 Trust. Trust. I'll tell you, the devil is a master. What am I going to do, Brother Casey, when everything fails? I'm going to go to the Bible and see what they've done. I'm going to check on Bartimaeus. Blindness is terrible. Yes, it is. It's terrible, but it's not the end of the world. But it is terrible. And Bartimaeus is tired of it. Everything had failed for him. Life was in shambles. He was just a beggar. All he was, just a beggar. But when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he cried out to him. You know what caused him to cry out? His faith. He believed. He believed that this man could help him. And when Jesus said, bring him to me, and they brought Bartimaeus to him, what do you want me to do, Lord? That I might see. Well, Jesus didn't even ask him no questions. He didn't even ask him what he was going to do if he could see. Why, Jesus could have said, why, if I open your eyes and you get to where you can see, you might be looking at pornography. You might go get you a big color TV. Yeah. Why, I'd open your eyes where you could see. Why, you might be going to the wrong places when you could see to get there. Jesus didn't answer him that way because his faith responded and he come to the Lord because he believed and had faith and he cried out to him. When all the circumstances and everybody around him said, hush, Bartimaeus, be quiet. Don't trouble him. You're just a blind beggar. You don't amount to anything. You're not worth much. You just got an old tin cup. Amen. And an old cane. Amen. An old gray robe. And you just sit here and get a penny once in a while to get a few, a little bread to eat. Maybe a little fish once in a while. Amen. And you're not worth the time of the Lord. Bartimaeus refused to hear that. And the more they pressed him, the louder he cried. And the more fervent he got. Oh, Brother Jimmy, I long for the day when I pray God send it to us that we could see people break out of the pews and run to the altar and cry out to God. You know, we just think we can carry our own burdens, carry our own loads. And we just carry them and carry them and carry them until they get so heavy, they just nearly weigh us down. When at any given time, at any given time, if we'd let our faith respond, we'd cry out to God. Amen. We could find the help that we need. Let's go to the Bible and find out about these. What about His disciples in the midst of the storm? Not the one I read you about, but the other one, where Jesus was asleep in the ship. The Bible said the ship was full. And in those days, they didn't have flotation. When a ship was full, it went down. That ship couldn't go down with Jesus on board. But you see, the disciples, they'd done what their faith inspired them to do. They woke the Master. And when they woke Him up, He just said, "Peace be still." Praise God. Oh, I hope I'm getting across to you tonight. I hope I'm getting this across to you tonight in such a way that you can respond to it and relate to it and get it in your heart. Amen. That you know where to go when everything fails. You know where to turn to. You know what to do when everything fails. The Bible tells us to cry out, to call on God, to ask Him. Not selfishly, as James said some of them were doing. Amen. Not to fulfill our own pleasure, our own desire. Amen. But ask God, seek God, and call on God that we might fulfill His good pleasure and do His good will. Amen. And accomplish His will in our lives. Amen. It'll happen. Let me ask you this question. Somebody might be here tonight. I don't know. Maybe you're just right at the end of your rope. You've heard that old story, that old statement. Maybe you're right at the end of your rope. Maybe things have just turned against you in life. Just things are bothering you and troubling you, discouraging you, and just things have happened. And you don't really know why that you're feeling like you feel emotionally. You just don't really understand yourself. I've been there. And you have too. But maybe somebody's here like that. And they've went to the end of their rope. They feel like that they're just right. Their efforts and their struggling, all that has just left them helpless. If self-will, doubt, fear has gripped at your heart and caused you to be dismayed in your Christian experience, and a time of trouble has come your way, or a time of trial and testing has come your way, I want to let you know tonight that if you'll call on Jesus, He'll meet with you right here tonight. Do y'all know page 129, tell it to Jesus? Do y'all know that? Look at it there and see if you know it. If you don't know it, I don't want you to sing it. But if you do, I'd like for you to here in just a minute. Tell it to Jesus. You ever heard anybody say when somebody was seeking the Holy Ghost, "Turn loose"? I thought several nights here when God was moving like He was, I looked out there and I observed some, and I thought, really, all they need to do is just turn loose. Did you know faith means to turn loose and trust? Did you know the best thing could ever happen to you, for you to get out of self and throw all caution to the wind and just turn loose and let go and let God have His wonderful way? whether you run, shout, dance, holler. I'll tell you what, I have just hauled off and screamed, yelled, and shouted just to the top of my voice because I just felt like doing it. And I'll tell you, it felt so good. And I've just got the feeling it's so good, my feet wouldn't be still. And finally got to going so big, I just danced all over the place. I just let go. We preach a lot about faith and we say, hold on. Hold on. But faith ain't holding on. Faith's letting go.